Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Larry Stamm. He's a dear brother, and we've had him minister in our church several times. He's come to do a Passover Seder for us a couple of times and done a church retreat for us, and he's just a wonderful, encouraging, really refreshing witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Larry's ministry is one that has a special dimension to it because of his background, his testimony. And I'm going to ask that as we start the broadcast today, he share a bit of that with us. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about your family background and how you came to know Jesus as the Messiah.
Well, Jim, it's a real blessing to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity to share about our ministry and about God's grace extended to me in my life. I was born in Daytona Beach, Florida. I grew up in St. Pete in a Reformed Jewish household, Reformed Judaism being a liberal expression of Judaism. And I received a religious education growing up. I was bar mitzvah at 13. I received confirmation in the synagogue at 15. And I always believed in God growing up. But I stopped believing in my Judaism in high school. Never stopped believing in God. And in high school, I turned away and sought to find fulfillment and meaning and accomplishment. I was a state-ranked tennis player in Florida. I was an excellent student. I thought I would find meaning and fulfillment and accomplishment, and that didn't fit the bill. In college, I tried the party scene, thinking that would bring me happiness and fulfillment. It did not. But people started sharing their faith in Jesus Christ with me during my college years, and my initial responses to them was, "I don't want to hear about your Jesus. We're Jewish. Jesus, we were taught, was the God of the Gentiles." But the Holy Spirit kept moving, and people kept coming. A friend of mine named Greg came to me my junior year, and he said, "Larry, there's absolute truth, and you can get in touch with it." And I was like, "Whoa, truth?" And then he posed a question. He said, "Do you know where you came from? Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going when you die?" I had no idea how to begin answering that question, Jim, and it kind of sent me spiraling into what we might call an existential crisis of sorts. And at that time at the University of Florida in college, I started searching for truth. I didn't necessarily embrace my Judaism and go back, nor did I embrace Christianity, but I started to search for truth. About a year and a half later, after I graduated from the University of Florida, September 1987, I was flying on an airplane from Atlanta to St. Petersburg, where I was living, and a gentleman sat next to me on the airplane, and he noticed I was reading a philosophy book, and he said, "Hey, are you interested in philosophy?" I arched my back and said, "Yes, I am." I was just dabbling. He said, "Great, I've got a master's degree in philosophy. Let's talk." And he began to share his testimony with me. He said, "Listen, I tried this, that, and the other. Who I've ended up with is Jesus." And I thought that very strange, Jim, because I attended a liberal Catholic high school, mainly for academic and athletic purposes, obviously, not religious. But I understood about religion. He wasn't talking to me about religion. He was talking to me about a relationship with the living God. He said, "You tell me you're Jewish and you believe in God." I said, "Yes." He said, "Why don't you ask the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if Jesus is the Messiah, and he'll show you the truth." And I was at the end of my proverbial rope, we might say. I knew this was not a coincidence.
Amen.
And I said, okay, I can do that. Got off the airplane, and I prayed a deep theological prayer. I said, "God, help. Show me if you're real. Show me if Jesus is the Messiah." We know Jeremiah 33, verse 3 states, God speaking through the prophet spoke and still speaks today these words, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty words which you know not, or great and mighty things that you know not. And I didn't know, but in faith I cried out to a God I believed in, but didn't know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 months later, through a series of events, I was born again in early December 1987, and I've not turned back. And I'm eternally grateful for what the Lord Jesus has done in my life. He's blessed me with a beautiful family. I've got a wife, Lori, and 2 children. Elijah's 15. Our daughter, Shoshana's 14. He's given me many opportunities to share the gospel throughout my Christian life. We're currently engaged in a ministry endeavor called Larry Stamm Ministries, which I'm sure we'll talk about briefly in a moment.
Sure.
So that's a little bit about how I came to faith, and eternally grateful to the Lord for all that He's done for me.
Well, He is faithful, and indeed, if you call on Him, if you cry out to Him, He does answer. He doesn't ignore that. He says, if with all your heart you truly seek me, you will ever surely find me. And God in His mercy is a God who comes in search of us. The Jewish rabbi of a previous century wrote a book called God in Search of Man. And even though I don't believe Abraham Joshua Heschel came to know Jesus, he at least got as far as recognizing that throughout the Bible, and he's looking at the Old Testament there as the Bible, God is the one who pursues man. All the way back to the garden, God comes and says to Adam, where are you? And God is the one who comes searching for us. I was just talking a couple of weeks ago with a person who has had a long battle with alcoholism. And he's currently, thank God, not drinking. And he said, I can't honestly say that I've been searching for God, but it's become very clear to me that God has been searching for me. God comes like a shepherd. Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so even when we don't know that we're lost, God is pursuing us. C.S. Lewis talked about the hound of heaven, and it's amazing the way that God tracks us down. Now, Larry, you did work with Jews for Jesus. You were on staff with them, and you and your family spent some time in Manhattan, and in the midst of all that, again, saw God's faithfulness, and you continued to grow in that. But now you've been back in Tennessee for over 20 years. Tell us how, out of your time in Tennessee, God has brought you into Larry Stamm Ministries.
Well, Jim, we were serving in New York City from 2003 to 2009 as missionaries, and it was an incredible experience. We came back to East Tennessee in 2009. I served on staff at our local church in Johnson City, Tennessee, for 4 years, working in outreach and also in missions. And in September of 2013, Lori and I felt led of the Lord to venture out into what we know today as Larry Stamm Ministries. And our ministry exists to make the gospel of Jesus a confident topic of conversation for every Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We write, we do seminars. I wrote a book called Serving in His Court,
mm-hmm.
Biblical Principles for Personal Evangelism from the Heart of a Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Your listeners can look it up on Amazon.com, Larry Stamm, Serving in His Court, or they can go to our website at larrystamm.org, LarryStamm.org. It's an excellent resource to help the Christian understand the process of evangelism. I've got
Amen.
A real burden to help Christians understand the process of evangelism and know that it is a process. We're all in process, and those who are on a journey who don't yet know Christ, they're also in process.
Mm-hmm.
And I unpack the process of evangelism in this book. I speak at seminars, at conferences, and do writing. We write in a weekly evangelistically oriented devotional for the evangelistically oriented Christian who wants to tell others about the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. And again, if people want to sign up for that, they can go to our website at larrystamm.org and sign up to receive that weekly evangelistically oriented devotional.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things we do in our ministry, Jim, as you well know, is we teach Jewish roots of the Christian faith. And you say, well, how does that tie into evangelism? Well, in this way, I've got a burden to help Christians better understand the gospel message itself. Mm-hmm. And we understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament, the Old Testament revealed. Mm-hmm. And so we teach Jewish roots of the Christian faith to help Christians better understand the gospel message itself so as to be able to more effectively articulate the gospel message among those who are in their sphere of influence. So we've been to your church a few times and, mm-hmm. done some Jewish roots teaching before, and hopefully that's been encouraging and edifying for your church family. So that's a basic overview of our ministry. We teach, we speak, we write, and we're grateful for the opportunity to encourage and equip God's people in more effectively fulfilling the Great Commission.
Amen. One of the greatest influences on my time at Gordon College back in the 1970s was Dr. Marvin Wilson, who wrote the book Our Father Abraham, Jewish Roots of the Christian Faith. And Dr. Wilson taught many Bible courses. He was the head of the Bible department and taught many Bible courses while I was there that I took from him. But one of the courses that he offered was Modern Jewish Cultures. And that was my first time to go to a Seder. And we went to a Seder in a local synagogue. Dr. Wilson's relationship with the Jewish community there was tremendous. He had his PhD from Brandeis, which is a nice little fundamentalist school up there. Actually, no, it's Jewish, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he helped us to see what you so effectively present, and that is that the whole Seder points to Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't say to his disciples, okay, you guys just need to forget about all those biblical passages that you learned growing up. Instead, he took them through the scriptures and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures so that they could begin to see what he had said to his adversaries before his crucifixion. And that is, you study the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but they're talking about me. Moses and the prophets, it's all pointing to Jesus. And so Jesus isn't just this new character introduced in the New Testament. He is from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He is the center. He is the focus. He is the star. And I love what you shared about the gentleman on the plane whose degree was in philosophy. He didn't say, I've become a believer in Christianity. I have become a believer in the Baptist Church or in the Methodist Church. He said, I have come to trust in Jesus. I am looking to Jesus now. That's where I ended up, is with Jesus. And it is, as you said, a relationship with him. Not just a set of beliefs, not just a different approach to behavior. It is life in Jesus Christ. You can know him because he conquered death. He's alive right now, and you can know him in a personal way. Larry,
amen.
As a believer in Jesus, did everybody in the Jewish community, your family and friends from your youth, did they all just embrace this and say, well, Larry, we're happy for you. We think that's great. Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, well, good. Thank you for letting us know. Was that kind of the response you got?
Not exactly, Jim. I'm the very first believer in my family. Actually, a couple of weeks after I got saved and put my trust in Jesus, a friend of mine named Greg from college, who had witnessed to me, mm-hmm. I mentioned him earlier.
Yes.
He said, great, you got saved. You're trusting in Christ. Go tell your family. I'm like, what? He said, go tell your family. I was a closet Christian for about 18 months, Jim, because that's how long it took me to come out. One by one, I got the courage and faith to go and share with my family. I'm the first believer in my family. It's not always been easy to share my faith.
Mm-hmm.
My maternal grandmother said, how can you do this? No one in our family's ever believed in Jesus before. Praise God, before she passed away, she prayed with me to receive Christ.
Praise God.
On her deathbed. my mom said to me, Larry, we need to get you some counseling. You're just going through a phase. You're going through a crisis in your life. You're in your early 20s. And
yeah.
She didn't realize that I know the wonderful counselor, and this phase is eternal.
Amen.
My father said, whatever you do, that's fine, but never, ever share your faith with your grandmother, his mom. Well, he and my paternal grandmother were the last two people I shared my faith with during that 18-month period of coming out. And soon after I shared my faith with my paternal grandmother, my father and I's relationship deteriorated because I'd gone against his demand not to share
yes.
my faith in Jesus with her. And eventually he cut me off, and we were estranged the last 20 years up until from 1992 to 2012 until he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We never spoke a word. He didn't want anything to do with me.
I'm so sorry.
So I've experienced the joy of God's salvation in my own family, but I've also partaken of the suffering that comes with identifying with the Messiah that can occur as part of our relationship with God.
Amen.
In my own family. So that's a little bit of my story with my family.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important for people to understand that, because some folks feel like, you know, if I share my faith with my family, they're not going to understand. They're going to cut me off. They're going to be upset. Well, yeah, that may happen, but it's still the only right thing to do. You need to be honest. You need to be honest.
Yeah.
I heard a wonderful testimony, and we need to realize we're not alone in this. You do a great job of equipping people for evangelism, but one of the things that I want to be sure our listeners understand in the midst of our conversation today is this is not just a series of techniques. It's a matter of walking in the Spirit, learning to be guided by the Lord and faithful to what He says, 'cause God is faithful. And a dear friend of mine was one who planted some seeds in the life of one of his board members. He had he owned a privately held pharmaceutical company, and one of his board members was a Jewish physician from New Orleans. And this Jewish doc was always impressed with the way that my friend would open the board meetings with a Bible reading and a little devotional, and then a prayer. And, you know, he unapologetically and yet not in an obnoxious way, just very matter-of-factly, because it's who he is. He's a follower of Jesus. He would acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and express gratitude for what Jesus had done. Well, this physician from New Orleans heard that and accepted it as just, you know, somebody else's faith. That's not a problem. But it helped warm him up over the years, for later on, when a fellow back in New Orleans invited him to go to a Bible study fellowship on Tuesday nights there in New Orleans. And he started going just because he was curious, what is it these Christians believe? Well, after he'd been studying the Bible for a while, he came to faith in Jesus. He did not tell his wife or anybody else from his circles where he was going. His wife would say, you know, where do you go on Tuesdays? And he said, oh, I'm just getting together with some friends. He was afraid to tell her what was going on. Well, after a few years of his being a closet Christian, he went with his wife to pick up their daughter from college. And when she got in the car to head home, she said, Mom and Dad, I need to tell you something. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I have asked him to take control of my life. And this dad was just speechless, and all the more so when his wife turned from the passenger side and said with tears, oh, darling, that's wonderful. I've become a follower of Jesus also.
That's awesome.
And so the dad said, well, I'm really, really embarrassed, but I too have become a follower of Jesus, and I'm so sorry I didn't have the courage to tell you all. So all
Praise
three
the Lord.
Of them were believers, and one of the first things he did was to reach out to the head of that pharmaceutical company and say, thank you for your witness all those years ago, because that was used by God to give me a different impression of serious Christians. And, you know, your life, Larry, is one that is making an impact all the time because you sincerely know Jesus. You don't just know about him, you know him. And that changes everything. So when you take your tennis background and write from a coach's perspective, serving in his court, you're not imagining what it would be like to be a tennis coach. You have been a tennis coach for years, and yet you're able to take that, apply it to the scriptures, and give people a framework to understand how to serve the Lord by sharing our faith with others. Now, that book, Serving in His Court, that's available in paperback, ebook, and audio, right?
Correct. Yeah, if someone would like to purchase the book in print form, they can go to Amazon.com. If they'd like a signed copy, they can go to our website at LarryStam.org. The Kindle is available on Amazon.com, and the audiobook is available through our ministry. Again, they can go to LarryStam.org and order the audiobook, and we'll send that out to them.
That's great. Well, I know that our folks have really appreciated your ministry when you've come here, and we don't always have people back, but we've had you back twice after your initial visit, and that, I think, reflects the fact that you had a very positive impact here. The Lord used you, and we appreciate the integrity with which you serve him. Your family, tell us a little bit about your family situation and where your kids are in terms of their walk right now.
We live in Jonesboro, Tennessee, East Tennessee, and we homeschool our kids. We've been homeschooling them really throughout the duration of their school years. My wife, Lori, is a tutor. She tutors on Mondays 13 eighth graders, including our 14-year-old daughter, Shoshana. On Tuesdays, she tutors in a classroom setting 10 tenth graders, including our 15-year-old son, Elijah.
Great.
And then she homeschools our children on top of that. So Lori's got a lot on her plate. She serves as the admin person for our ministry. So all of our administrative work, our Facebook, Twitter, website work, she's involved in all of our promotional materials. She's involved in producing. So she does a great work. She's a wonderful helpmate. I love her very much, and I couldn't be in ministry without her. Our kid's Elijah. He's about 9 months away from becoming a black belt in Taekwondo. Our daughter Shoshana has been studying jiu-jitsu, which is a Brazilian martial art, for about a year and a half. She's getting ready to test, actually, for her yellow belt. And our daughter has a passion for animals. She likes the ukulele as well. She plays the ukulele. Our son has a passion for voice, and he's starting to learn how to play the piano.
Great.
So that's a little bit of our family. I'm not playing a whole lot of tennis. I don't know if we mentioned to our audience that I was a professional tennis coach for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
5 years in Florida, 9 years as an assistant tennis coach at East Tennessee State University,
mm-hmm.
here in Johnson City, Tennessee. I play tennis a little bit for fun now and then, but so that's a little bit about our family life, and happy to be in the kingdom, happy to be part of God's family, and happy to be having the privilege to be a part of God's great commission plan.
Well, and I appreciate the fact, Larry, that you not only are faithful in sharing the gospel wherever you go, but you really feel a burden to equip others to be able to share their faith wherever they go. And so I thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Please know that, again, we appreciate the impact you've had here in our community, and we pray God's blessings on you and on your family in the years to come.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's been a blessing to be with you. The Lord's blessing upon your ministry, your family, and the church family as well.
Thank you, sir. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.